Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Ken Fallon, and welcome to another edition of Hacker Public Radio. Today's episode is going to be about choosing the correct Aug Vorbis digital audio player. I have very specific requirements when it comes to selecting a digital audio player, and they are as follows. First of all, it needs to be solid state, because I need to make sure it's rugged enough that if I drop it, its hard disk isn't going to get crashed. I need to be able to take it outside in various different weathers. It needs to be able to take a bit of rain, cold, heat, that sort of thing. It needs to be under €100 or $100 or whatever, largely because if it gets lost or broken, I don't want to be out any more money than that. And if it costs more than that, I would have the feeling that I need to be overly protective of the device. Ideally, something around €70, €75 would be sort of in the ballpark of what I'm looking for. But most importantly, I want to be able to use the player to play the Aug Vorbis format. Now, I've already done the Hacker Public Radio on using SOX to speed up the spoken word in podcasts so that they don't sound like chipmunks. And because of a bug, you can't produce MP3 and only output to Aug. But that's fine. That's fine because I always buy a player that supports the Aug format. Now, most of my MP3 collection is still indeed, most of my music collection is still in the MP3 format. See, we see how the whole MP3 thing is ingrained into our minds. We have MP3 players and we have an MP3 collection. Very, very sad. But we will fight this. Anyway, my music collection is mostly encoded in the MP3 format, and as that's a lossful format, just like the Aug Vorbis format is, I don't want to transcode from one to the other because the quality of my recordings would only decrease. But I now make a point that when I'm buying music, I buy it in the Aug Vorbis format, or I buy it in another format and then encode it in from the original into the Aug format. The best format to buy is the FLAC format, which is the free audio format that will give you exactly what the artist released, so you don't lose any data in the re-encoding. With MP3 and Aug, some data is thrown away. More than likely, you probably won't ever hear the difference, but it's important to know that it is thrown away. A few years ago, I did a search for Aug player, and I found at the time that the Samsung had a line of, like, candy bar, gum, you know, spearmint gum type formats of an MP3 player. That, again, I do it, it's not an MP3 player, it's a digital audio player that supported Aug, and I've purchased that. Since then, my wife has also got one, and she listens to her music, which is in a mixed MP3 or Aug format, and it doesn't really matter because she's using the Samsung line, which is the UP-U2 format model. Now, that works absolutely fine in Linux. You just plug it in and it comes up as a USB disk, and you can copy files over and back. You can go to a Windows machine if you want, or another machine, and it all works very sweet. Now, unfortunately, her one died yesterday, and I ordered one on ball.com, which is a Dutch website, and it arrived today. Before I made my purchase, I, of course, went to wiki.xiph.org, which is a site that maintains a list of Aug format, Aug compatible portable media players, and this was on the list. Now, it is not safe enough to assume that just because they play the Aug format that your troubles are over there, because you hit a thing called the MTP Media Transfer Protocol, which is, according to Wikipedia, it is a protocol devised set of custom extensions to the Picture Transfer Protocol. Whereas Picture Transfer Protocol was designed for downloading photographs from digital cameras, Media Transfer Protocol supports the transfer of music files from digital audio players and movie files on portable media players. That all sounds very nice and everybody's out to help us. However, when we move on to the next section, we see that the Media Transfer Protocol is part of the Windows Media Framework and is thus closely related to Windows Media Player. Windows Vista has built-in support for MTP. Support for XP requires Windows Media Player 10 or higher, and the Mac and Linux systems have software packages to support it. We'll just go to the drawbacks section of Wikipedia, and it says by design MPT devices are not treated like traditional removable drives. So that means you can't, if you plug them in, they don't come up as USB disks. The actual file system is implemented by the device, not by the computer's operating system. In theory, the OS may hide the differences, but this is unfortunately not the case in Windows, Mac OS, and also in Linux. This also means that conventional file system recovery tools will be of no use if the drive is corrupted or crashed. Now, that's all very well, but what this means for us is that we lose a lot of the convenience. That means you just can't stick in a drive into any computer and it'll work. Generally, these things are formatted as a FAT file system, which is fairly universal, even though Microsoft owns a patent on that. But anyway, why would they implement this protocol? Why not just let you plug in a device and it comes up as the E drive on Windows, or it comes up as /media/ Samsung or whatever under Linux? And the reason for that is support for digital rights management or digital restriction management, depending on which side of the fence you sit. So essentially, I don't want a media player that supports that. However, I ordered this player anyway, and that is because I realized, following a post on the XIPH website, that there is a opportunity to put an internationalized version of the firmware on that device. So the device arrived today. I did LSUSB, see my Hacker Public Radio episode, which I haven't recorded yet, on the LPI certification. No, it's not dead, it's just comatose. And that came up with the number 04E8:507D as the identifier. And that gave me loads of posts about how to handle this under Linux. Now, the traditional method on the Ubuntu forum is to install GNOME AD2, and what this does is it provides support to media player applications such as Rhythmbox and to things like Amarok, so that you can support transfer of audio files. Now, you need to edit your UDEV rules lines to put in different calls for different things. However, that to me is a pain in the buttocks, because I have quite a lot of machines that don't have these applications on. I find these applications very heavy, and I just want to be able to use my standard CP tools, put in my media device into my WRT54G, and with the miracles of Bash Potter, I come down in the morning, it's charged, and all my podcasts have been transferred over, and everything's happy. Now, in theory, you could say that this player is for my wife, and so the whole process of putting the files on there in the first place will be a one-off thing. However, that is not the point. We will not accept restrictions, thank you very much. Anyway, so my idea was, well, I'll get this device and I will try to put the other firmware on the device and make sure that it supports just USB mass storage drive. I followed the instructions on the forums, and which I'll have a link to in the show notes and also on my website, kevinfallon.com. It is a fairly simple enough procedure. There is one thing that you need to be aware of, and that is you need to follow the MTS mode drivers and not the MTP drivers. So carrying on that, if I wasn't able to do the firmware on update on this, I was going to return the device with a note to Samsung saying, and ball.com saying, thank you very much, but no thanks. So suffice to say, the firmware update worked, because this is being recorded on my wife's Samsung YP-U3 as we speak. So, happy ending to this tale. Word of warning, word of caution is when you're buying a digital audio player and you want to support OGG, go to that website, wiki.xiph.org, look for your device there, and make sure that you don't, not only does it play OGG, but that you have the ability to have it come up as a USB mass storage drive. That, my friend, has been another Hacker Public Radio. And if you're sick of listening to my voice, remember there is one guaranteed way to get to make sure that it won't appear as often, and that is to you yourself record a podcast and send it in to hackerpublicradio.org, the admin at hackerpublicradio.org, or get your friends to record a segment and have them send it in to admin at hackerpublicradio.org. And with that, I will wish you a very, very good day.
Thank you for listening to Hacker Public Radio. HPR is sponsored by Caro.net, so head on over to caro.net for all your hosting needs.